Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Summer fun is right on track because Thomas and all his friends are rolling into Roaring Camp Railroads. Full steam ahead. And he's gonna have all kinds of activities to choose from. So check on down to Roaring Camp, July 26th through August 4th. You won't want to miss Thomas.
You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Off the Glass Nothing But Net and Up and Under networks. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today. All right, what's up, Pels fans? Welcome to another special episode of The Bird Calls. I'm your host, Preston Ellis, and today we are breaking down Zion Williamson's strengths and weaknesses with former Washington Wizards head video coordinator. I'm going to give my best shout at this, Brian Oringer. But before we get to that, make sure you guys check out our series on Anthony Davis trade packages, both here on The Bird Calls and on our site at thebirdrights.com. A lot of good stuff on that. We've gotten a lot of great feedback. So please be sure, if you've already checked it out, to share it. Last thing before we dive in, let's first introduce Bird Rights editor-in-chief. He's getting into shape for the media pickup game, Mr. Ali Cosell. We've been talking a lot lately.
It's been kind of fun. I mean, because let's face it, Preston, we talked maybe three times over the final 3 months of the season, so we got to make up for that lost time.
That's right, and there's finally, as Brian was just saying, there's something to be excited about. He said we got some good news when we needed it most. Kind of like help will always come to those who need it. Is that the Harry Potter reference? Anyway, you guys can follow him at Ali Cosell. Now, finally, our guest of honor, Mr. Brian Oringer. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Man, we're on cloud nine. The last week has brought us so much excitement. Our numbers have been up across the board, higher than they've ever been, higher than they were during that Portland series sweep last season. Ali, things are pretty great for us, right?
Man, it was a godsend. Let's just put it bluntly. We were looking at the expectation of Anthony Davis leaving, and who knew what the future was. And this is before I'm talking about before all the hires. So we didn't have any direction, you know. And to be 45 days later to be in this position, it's really like winning the lottery.
<It's> literally.
Yeah. And just as we were saying before, I can't remember if we said this on or off air, but it's really nice for the Pelicans to finally have a mouthpiece, finally to have a voice box, somebody who can direct us, tell us the plan, and just give us that confidence, that comfortability that we know that we're headed in the right direction. And we know we have somebody who's willing to stand accountable for missteps and for the more positive things that transpire. It feels like we've been let behind the curtain finally after about 7 or 8 seasons of just never knowing anything and never really hearing anything. Alvin Gentry was really our mouthpiece for the latter half of last season. So anyway, everything is great, Brian. We brought him on today because he has an incredibly extensive breakdown of Zion on his YouTube channel. I watched it yesterday. You can find it by following him at Scout with Brian on his website, scoutwithbrian.com. And you can also donate to the cause at patreon.com/scoutwithbrian. Let's go ahead and dive right on in, Brian. This is from Tejeda. Our friend always asks his questions in threes. He says, are there any misconceptions when it comes to Zion's strengths and weaknesses?
I think there's a few. You know, I think as far as, you know, purported strengths, I think some people think he's kind of a pick and roll ball handler, and then he's obviously some people throw out the LeBron type talent, and you know, I don't really see that. I see a guy who, you know, I've said and I showed in my video, I think he really, really struggles to dribble with his right hand. You know, I think he's an okay passer, like full court, but you know, I think handling the ball is pretty new to him, and he still has a long way to go as a ball handler. So I'd say that's probably the biggest thing that sticks out. But yeah, you know, I think he can, his shot's further along than some people think. I think, you know, when you look at the percentage, obviously wasn't phenomenal, but I think he'll be able to build himself into at least a competent, you know, floor spacer for the most part.
Brian, can we, real quick, since we're on that topic of his three-point shot, we all know he's, you know, both the form and the percentages weren't the greatest, but he did show improvement. But can you go a little bit into maybe some of the changes he made? Because I had read that he made significant changes to his shot in like a year's time, where he completely changed his form, you name it. So do you think that A can be something that he can ride to where that the track he's on now, that he could develop in a good shooter, or does it also maybe show that this guy has that ability to, you know, he's so coordinated, he's so skilled, his instincts are so good that he's going to eventually figure it out and become at least a competent three-point shooter?
Yeah, you know, I think he'll be a guy who'll be able to, you know, hopefully focus on hitting at least the corner three so that he can, you know, play there as a spacer, even like...
I'm Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. We help men deal with the life changes triggered by divorce, such as child custody and property division, among many others. But life changes also occur after divorce. These changes can make parts of your existing court order irrelevant or harder to follow. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell. We're a partner men can count on.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
You guys have used, you know, Randall sometimes, and, you know, I think the shot is part of the reason why he's not, you know, not a three at all in my mind. I think he doesn't handle the ball well enough or shoot the ball well enough to play kind of more of the wing three like some people, you know, think. But I think for the four spot, he's kind of got a slow loading, you know, Zach Randolph type release. He loves to, you know, jab before his shot. And I think for now, you know, it's going to translate probably better to around the elbows and take him some time to really stretch it out to the NBA three in particular. But, you know, I think he's a guy who, it doesn't always look great, but he ends up, you know, making a fair percentage of his shots. And I would expect him to be a guy who can, you know, hover around the 32-33% three range, taking a couple of games. So, you know, it definitely won't be a big strength of his game in my mind, but I think he'll be a guy that you can at least, you know, stick in the corners and run some spread pick and roll that way.
All right. Big thanks to Jay Frazier, who had a similar question to that one. Jay, we're going to skip over your question just because I think Brian pretty much got a good handle on it. Brian, during your video filming, and this is another question from Tejeda that I'm going to rephrase, you pointed out Zion's willingness to gamble defensively, kind of making mistakes, and that he's trying to get behind offensive players who have their back turned to him, something that's obviously not going to occur in the NBA on a regular basis. Those kind of guys are going to expose him. How is he going to need to learn in the NBA to play a more fundamental defense so that offensive players like that do not take advantage of him as a rookie?
Yeah, you know, I think it's all just kind of figuring out the balancing act. You know, I think LeBron, for example, you know, sometimes he gets accused of not really defending, and people will show clips where he just kind of walks around or is pretty aloof. But you know, he's proven over his career when he's locked in and come playoff time, you know, he can make huge blocks, huge steals, and be in the right place at the right time. You know, so I think from day one, Zion will just have to, you know, really commit to team defense and to, you know, simplifying it and not, you know, gambling as much, just learning NBA help principles and how to be in a stance every single time. But, you know, once he does that, I think he does kind of have the body and the motor and, you know, the athleticism to be kind of like a Draymond type defensively, you know, a guy that can switch 1 through 5 and get really low in a good stance. And, you know, his motor is phenomenal. That's, I think, the biggest thing that, kind of jumps off the page to me watching him. You know, he really, really plays hard and loves to compete. And, you know, that's the type of guy that I love betting on. You know, even if I'm not the highest in the world on his skill set, at least right now, I think, you know, he plays with a tremendous passion, a tremendous motor. And that's most of what defense is anyway. Defense is hard and effort, you know, and if he can do those things consistently, I think he'll be pretty good on that end.
Ollie, I'm going to jump in front of you really quickly. I just want to follow up on that. You've mentioned on your video and now again that his ceiling defensively might be as a Draymond type. Do you think that Zion's ceiling lies with him playing the five?
I think he can definitely play some small five. I mean, you know, he's obviously a little bit undersized for the position and, can potentially struggle against some of the real, 7'2" huge size fives in the league. But yeah, I see no reason why he can't play some small ball five in that lineup. But I think a lot of that will come down to, again, Draymond, such a good ball handler, such a good passer. So if Zion's going to play that spot, he's got to work on that part of his game and be able to be a facilitator and, bring the ball up the floor occasionally and do some things like that. So I could definitely see him, sliding to that at least in a crunch time lineup. I think he's a four to start off with and, in a starting lineup. But I see no reason why he can't play some five, at the next level.
Brian, before we got started with this podcast, we were talking a little bit about, the joy of New Orleans and, kind of the luck that went into it, but also people are excited. So I want to basically talk about what's his impact going to be next season. We got a question from Alexis Glosser, and she said it can be hard, to estimate Zion's potential because he is pretty raw in certain areas. But what do you think his impact will be next season? Is it maybe similar to Randall with more versatility on defense, or is it just raw on offense and, just really a little bit more aloof defensively at first? I mean, can you give us kind of like an idea or what your concept is, your vision for Zion's first year with the Pelicans?
Yeah, I think he'll bring the energy, I think, is the biggest thing for him. One of Pop's favorite sayings, Greg Popovich as a coach, is always bring the juice, and that just means to him basically play hard every night, every possession. And, it's going to be an adjustment for Zion to do it over 82 games. But I think for the most part, he did a phenomenal job of that at Duke, just playing with an amazing motor that made him fun to watch pretty much every night. And I think that's what he's going to bring you guys, first and foremost. I think he's going to bring, blocks, rebounding, hustle plays, energy defensively, transition offense. I think that's going to be his role to start off with, is just being a guy that's going to, some of the things you see like Giannis do well, for example. I think Zion, could benefit from kind of watching him and taking him as an example, just playing relentlessly hard. The skill components, like I've said, I think are what is lacking a little bit more now. And, I just caution people to just expect that, he's not going to be a great shooter. He's not going to be a great ball handler, a passer, those things from day one. And I do have some concerns how he fits in an NBA half court offense. But, I even still have some of those concerns about Giannis, that you're seeing even now in the playoffs. So you can still impact the game. People don't realize how much more there is to the game than scoring and shooting in particular. There's so many different things he can do that even if he struggles within a half court offense a little bit to start, I think he's definitely a winning player and an impactful player, and will bring a lot of excitement to the city for sure.
I'm Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. We help men deal with the life changes triggered by divorce, such as child custody and property division, among many others. But life changes also occur after divorce. These changes can make parts of your existing court order irrelevant or harder to follow. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell. We're a partner men can count on.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
Let me just ask a quick follow-up, Brian. Do you think that the stats will be there? Do you think that there's a chance that he may not be a lock for Rookie of the Year? If I remember reading right somewhere from whether it was Twitter line or somewhere, but I think you said that Ja Morant has a better chance of, coming in the league right away and having, being able to make that bigger impact, have that presence, so that he would essentially, walk away with a Rookie of the Year, whatever other accolades that will be out there. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think I've said that Ja is probably more NBA ready right now. I just think his game is a little more polished and fits in, you know, right away as a, I think he'll be, you know, a top five in the league assist guy from the start. I think he's a, you know, perfect spread pick and roll point guard, a guy that can drive and kick and get up in the 8 or 9, you know, assist a game type and score a lot and do a lot of things. So, you know, I think it could be a good race for sure. I wouldn't put it past Zion to, you know, be in the 15-8 or 15-9 or so range, which are good stats in themselves. And, you know, if the team has a lot of success and, you know, maybe he's able to convince a guy to stay, you know, he might look a lot better than I project. But, you know, it's tough. You see, you know, Trey and Luka kind of had that battle for a bit, and Dallas looked like the much better team. And then when it was all said and done, you know, the teams were more even than people expected. But Luka kind of had the runaway because I think Dallas got off to a better start and he got off to a better start. But, yeah, I mean, I think Ja's game is very NBA ready, and I like him a ton as a prospect as well. And I think it'll be more competitive between those two than some people think.
I just want to follow up on that, but before I do that, just want to mention something that he said previously about Giannis struggling in the half court sets. That's spot on. There were some great numbers put out by Kirk Goldsberry and Zach Lowe during the game last night about just how much the Bucks were struggling against Kawhi and the Raptors' half court defense. Specifically, Kawhi and Pascal Siakam defended Giannis better than all but two players in the NBA. Kawhi was first, and Siakam was fourth. Let's get back. Since we're talking about Ja Morant, let's get to your hot take of the podcast. And it's something that I saw yesterday. You were communicating to some of our readers and viewers on Twitter. And that's that you don't find the separation or the divide between Ja and Zion to be that vast. Kind of like you were saying with Trae Young and Luka Doncic, there are some out there, or there were last year, who thought that they were pretty close to the same level, at least worth trading off another top 10 pick in order to pair someone with Trae rather than just taking Doncic. How wide of a divide do you think there lies between Ja and Zion? And if you were the Pelicans and Memphis was completely all in on Zion and willing to give you the farm for him, would you consider that deal?
I would, you know, to be honest. And I know it's tough because, you know, they say that's the kind of thing that can get a GM fired. And, you know, even people, the whole narrative, like I said, for the first couple months of the season was, what a colossal mistake Atlanta made, and how dare anybody trade Luka Doncic. But, you know, if you're looking at their front office now, I think they're probably pretty happy with what they did and where they're at. You know, so, yeah, I mean, I think obviously they're completely different players, and it just depends on what you need. But, you know, in your guys' position, you know, if you view that Drew could be kind of long-term wing and play alongside him, and if you really needed a long-term point guard, I mean, I think, like I said, I think Ja is an all-star at the next level. I think his game, you know, is comparable to a guy like a Conley or like a De'Aaron Fox. I think that's kind of you know, a lot of what I see in his game. And yeah, you know, if you can get like a huge asset with Memphis somehow to take that, I mean, I would at least hope that New Orleans is doing all their due diligence. I mean, I know, you know, Zion is the odds-on favorite and, you know, so exciting and, you know, people are rightfully excited, but I would at least be willing to pick up the phone and have a conversation if there was something that made sense.
Do you think typically, you know, top players, the elite players coming out of the draft don't spend that much time on the courts in Las Vegas and Summer League? What is your expectation of what we may see transpire here in this upcoming summer league with his schedule, anything that, you know, anything else that we should know?
Sorry, you're saying with like how Zion's gonna approach,
yeah,
summer,
excuse
league?
Me, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was a question from one of our readers just saying, what do you think, what are some expectations, and do you feel he'll even be compelled to play in the summer league?
I hope so. I mean, I think it's a hugely valuable, you know, thing for young players. I've seen, you know, I had the pleasure of going to, I think, four or five of them with the Wizards. And it's, you know, it's a grueling 10 or so days. But I think you get some feel for, like, the NBA schedule and having to play back-to-backs and, you know, get used to the routine, have morning shoot-arounds, you know, play in the afternoon. you know, so I think it's important to get to be part of the team and to acclimate, you know, especially to other rookies or young players who could be on the roster. And it's a good chance to, you know, kind of work on your leadership too, because you're obviously, for a summer league team, getting to, you know, be the focal point, be the leader, whereas you jump on the big squad and you're still, you know, you're still the rook, and there's lots of veterans who are kind of higher up on the pecking order. So I would, I don't know, and, you know, unless he has an injury or some other concern, I would hope that, you know, all these top picks would still take part in summer league and, you know, just do their best to compete and show why they, you know, are ready for the league and use it as a little appetizer of what's to come.
A lot of great questions. Just want to thank everybody again. I think we covered our questions from Darren Howard and Low Key. So thank you guys for your questions. We're going to go ahead and move back to Alexis. Let's try this one. Obviously, we talked about him probably being a natural four at this point in his career, though you said he could exceed as a five, kind of similar to the way that Draymond Green does in small ball lineups. What Obviously, everybody's going to consider putting shooters around him, but what kind of playmakers do you think Zion needs to have around him, not only just to play throughout the course of a game, but you mentioned that he might struggle in half-court sets. How can the Pelicans alleviate that by putting the right players around him?
Yeah, I think shooting, you know, is the biggest thing, like you said, but in particular, you know, I think their Achilles heel that's always struggled even with AD is having like a three. You know, in particular, I think that wing spot's going to be important. You know, you look at Draymond, for example. I mean, obviously, everybody knows, you know, Steph, how much he opens the floor. But, you know, having Clay obviously has provided a ton of space and a ton of confusion in terms of two defenders always being worried about going to Clay, which creates flips. It creates assist opportunities for Draymond. And, you know, if Zion's going to be a guy who can set some pick and rolls, you know, people like to think, oh, can he play the Draymond role? Can he, you know, get the ball in the pocket and then make the next play? But you know, there's not a whole lot of teams that are gonna be trapping Drew in pick and rolls as good as he is. You know, I think you could definitely need a shooter coming off screens, coming off pin downs. You know, so I think that should be a type of guy who's really high on their board is finding a specialist, kind of even like a Landry Shamet for the Clippers. You know, if you could find somebody like that, even in the second round, you know, I think there's some guys who can really shoot the ball in the draft and play that kind of Joe Harris specialist role. So I think that's a good type of player that they need to continue to target. You know, guys that can just make shots and come off screens and make shots and handle the ball even and do that. And, you know, I think that makes things a lot easier for Zion if he's playing with ball handlers or with, you know, shooters who can open up a lot of opportunities for him.
Brian, with that said, this is, I think, a perfect time for me to ask my question. Do you have any concerns about Zion coming to New Orleans and playing for Alvin Gentry? We know what Alvin's strengths are. How do you foresee Alvin either being a benefit or a negative for Zion's development?
Good, really good question. I think he's a really good coach overall. I think he has a really good offensive system. That's a lot of just, you know, spreading the floor and driving kick and spread pick and roll. And, you know, I think that's obviously the style of the NBA today, and it's a very, you know, modernized system. But yeah, at the same time, you know, it's not perfect. I think you see, you know, teams like Milwaukee, teams like Houston in the playoffs, you know, when you don't run a ton of set plays, sometimes you can be a little bit more predictable, especially, you know, in the playoffs when teams can really game plan to take away, you know, the things you do best. So I just hope that, you know, they don't limit Zion. I know, obviously, you know, he'll be kind of a floor spacing four who will, you know, be in the corner some, he'll be at the top some, you know, he'll get to handle the ball a little bit, all those things. But, you know, I hope they find some creative ways to try to let him, you know, get some mismatches maybe in the post, to let him, you know, come off some cross screen, things like that. I think, you know, obviously the post-up game is a piece of his puzzle. It's not going to be a huge thing at the next level, but I think he can definitely, you know, try to get some switches in the post, like, you know, like you see guys like Siakam take advantage of, and even Giannis, you know, that's a huge component of both their games. And, you know, it's a thing that the Pelicans have used some, you know, for AD and a couple guys, but not a whole lot. And I hope they take advantage of that, since it seems to be, you know, probably Zion's best half-court skill, at least right now.
Great job, Brian. You pretty much covered the rest of our questions. Thank you so much to Caleb Jones, Caleb Lampert, Daniel Harris. Waka Waka Wakanda is asking if Zion is training. Obviously, we don't really have that information. That's something that we're going to get out of Coach Mike G as soon as we link up with him. But I'm sure, knowing Zion's work ethic, he's in a gym somewhere. Here's going to be our last question. We're going to close with this, Brian. And thank you again so much for your time. Right now, the Pelicans have a major decision to make. It's pretty much the only thing everybody's talking about. Anthony Davis, can David Griffin get him to stay? Do we even want him to stay? Or at this point, would fans just prefer to take whatever they can get back for him, whether it be from the Clippers, Boston, et cetera? If you're the GM, if you're David Griffin, do you want to see Zion next to Anthony Davis? Or like you said, would you prefer a package of guys, you know, totally built to accentuate his strengths? Like you said, a wing who can shoot, a two who can shoot, with Jrue Holiday maybe managing the offense to start things. Would you go that route, or would you try to see how things go with Anthony Davis?
Yeah, that's a million-dollar question. You know, I think a lot of it will depend on, you know, just what Griffin can figure out, obviously, in terms of, you know, if he gets to have a sit-down with AD or just getting to really know exactly his thought process. You know, I think there were people close to AD who obviously, you know, just kind of gave up on the organization and would love to see him in Los Angeles or, you know, in a big market like that. And, you know, I think ultimately you have to just talk to AD and figure out, you know, is it possibly salvageable? You know, if we can get a couple other big pieces around you and Zion, or even you and Ja, you know, is there any way we can kind of pull this and show you we have enough talent for you to win here, or are you 1,000% out? You know, and if they find out he's 1,000% out, pretty much no matter what they do, then I think it's pretty much, you know, just a matter of continuing to look like they might keep him and try to put on that happy face, but then, you know, you're doing whatever you can behind closed doors to just pit these teams against each other and get the absolute best offer you can get. So, yeah, I mean, it's really tough, and I'm sure, you know, they would love to keep him if by some miracle, you know, you could convince him to stay. But at the same time, it would be, you know, reckless for the organization to continue to roll him out there on a 1-year deal, you know, especially if he says he's walking no matter what. So I think you kind of just have to get some clarity on that and then, you know, have a bidding war or continue to build around them both if he indicates there's something that would possibly convince him to stay.
Hey, Brian, I'm sorry. Preston lied to you. I've got one more quick question for you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You've been affiliated with three different teams, the Washington Wizards, Atlanta Hawks, and Toronto Raptors, for those who don't know. So that's why he's such a great follow. But from each of those perspectives, or you can combine it into one, can you give us a kind of a general sense or take of what other teams had of the New Orleans Pelicans, and specifically the Dell Demps era? Was it, you know, kind of doomed to fail, even with Anthony Davis in tow? Or can you just quickly give us a sense of what, you know, just how the general sense of and perception of the Pelicans were around the league?
Yeah, you know, I think it's never as good or never as bad as some might think, you know, on the outside. I think he's a well-respected overall basketball mind, but, you know, I think he had some tendencies there that were, you know, that obviously didn't do him a ton of favors on the media side, and a lot of that is just winning that PR battle. And then, you know, he obviously had some clear failings, like I mentioned, you know, just not being able to get, you know, a really solid wing alongside AD pretty much for most of his tenure there was unacceptable. And, you know, it's he went through with a couple coaches, and ultimately, you know, I think you can only blame the coach for so long before there has to be some accountability for not getting a wing like that and wasting, you know, a lot of AD's prime. So, you know, I think he's, like I said, I think he's a good basketball mind. I think he's more respected maybe than some people may think. And some of the organization's faults may have been more, you know, from ownership and not maybe being more of a football organization than they put, you know, resources into basketball. But now it seems like at least they're, you know, they're willing to put the resources in and hire a really good balanced front office with enough manpower. And, you know, Griffin's built championship organizations. Langdon's been a part of them, obviously. And, yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic now about the group they have in place.
All right, you guys have been listening to Brian Oringer. Thank you so much for your time, sir. You guys can follow him at Scout with Brian on Twitter, his website, scoutwithbrian.com. You can also donate to the cause at patreon.com/scoutwithbrian. He's got extensive videos covering Zion, Ja Morant, so many others. So if you guys want to get educated on these players, make sure you dive on in and find out all the most compelling information about both of these guys. Ali, I'm going to... Well, actually, Brian, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to go ahead and close out with Ali. Is there anything I missed in terms of where people can find you?
No, I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I'll just say it's, Brian with a Y because people miss that sometimes. But yeah, Scout with Brian on pretty much everything, and appreciate you guys having me. Really enjoyed it.
Of course. And Ali, before I close out, let's just get to you, sir. Of course, you guys can follow him at Ali Cosell. We've got a lot of series on AD trade packages. You've got some individual articles on thebirdrights.com. I've got a couple. Is there anything coming up that you want our listeners to know of that we haven't covered yet?
No, I don't think so. We just want to conclude the trade series and then start looking at greater detail of what the Pelicans may look like with Zion, kind of what we touched on today with Brian.
Okay, cool. I'm Preston Ellis. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, if you like what you're hearing, please do us a favor. Rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to us there. Spread the word. Retweet. Like. Tell all of your friends. We're going to continue doing this all summer. Obviously, there's a lot to be excited about, and we're just as excited as you guys. So we're going to keep this going until Summer League. I know that Ali will be there. Kevin will be there. I'll be there. And we're going to keep you guys up to date on everything heading into the season. For now, thanks for hanging out with us. Let's go, Pels. Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Off the Glass, Nothing But Net, and Up and Under podcast networks. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.
Geico presents yet another voicemail from your roommate.
Hi, so about the kitchen. Turns out when there's a grease fire, you're not supposed to throw water on it. Who would have known, right? Anyways, the fire department is here and it's totally cool. Give me a call back when you get a chance.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if danger is your roommate's middle name. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Summer fun is right on track because Thomas and all his friends are rolling into Roaring Camp Railroads. Full steam ahead. And he's gonna have all kinds of activities to choose from. So check on down to Roaring Camp, July 26th through August 4th. You won't want to miss Thomas.